Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. In the spotlight on Money FM 89.3.
This is Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, shares of BP made headlines last week after sinking to 25-year lows. The hefty decline comes hot in the heels of the unveiling of a climate strategy, and BP is not alone. Shell is reportedly going through a project reshape and is looking to slash up to 40% of the cost of producing oil and gas as it looks to shift greater focus to renewable energy and power markets. So, a bit of an energy transition going on at the moment. And to find out exactly what that means and why it's shaking up the industry at the moment, we're joined on the line today by Jonty Rushforth, and he's the head of pricing at Platts. Jonty, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Rachel. How are you doing?
Keeping well?
Yeah, very well indeed. Enjoying working from home in London. Despite the weather turning here.
Oh, dear. Okay, well, Jonty, first, let's lay the groundwork here. And, let's talk about what exactly we mean by an energy transition, because essentially we're talking about reducing our dependence on fossil fuels, aren't we?
It's exactly that, but it is a reduction, and it's a reduction over a certain amount of time. So it's a process that's already ongoing, but over the next few decades, the expectation is that we will see a significant shift away from fossil fuels in the global energy mix. Now, a lot of that is going into renewables. A lot of it is going into other fuels as well, whether it's nuclear or also just efficiencies across the board. But it doesn't mean the end of the fossil fuel industry in the near term. It means a reduction over the next 10, 20 years in how much coal is part of that mix. And increasingly, it probably means a bit of pressure on the share of gas. But we still see, out to 2030, out to 2040, that oil, gas, coal, these are going to be an important part of the global mix.
So, Jonty, that said, though, alternatives such as solar, they're not exactly new. So what's driving such a significant shift right now?
Well, there's a couple of things, really. We've got this far without mentioning the pandemic, but the pandemic is important. It's reduced the demand outlook for energy in the very short term, but also over the longer term. So the whole curve of demand going forward over the next decade is reduced. Now, what does that mean? It means a lower price environment for energy. And in a lower price environment, everyone's assets are worth a bit less. Everyone that was already looking and saying, okay, well, maybe we should be investing in these new areas, it's accelerated that. And that's meant that it's come alongside not just the drop in demand, but also the change in investment focus. So on Wall Street these days, focus on ESG, whether it's from passive investment or active investment, has become much larger. And that's been really important because it's about investment changing over into these new areas.
And it's not just COVID, is it? We're looking at legislation as well. That's playing a big part at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So the regulatory picture is very variable worldwide. And of course, all eyes are on November in the US to see what happens there. But, we've seen the announcements out of Europe where they have some very aggressive targets in cutting GHG emissions. We've seen, the starts of new carbon trading markets in China. It's really increasingly the case that governments around the world are focused on this area, but they're not all taking the same track. So in some parts of the world, there's very clear, very aggressive regulatory environment around it. In other parts, they're relying more on the industry and the market itself providing solutions. And that's really interesting for us because, from a pricing side, we've been looking at a lot of these different new markets, trying to ascertain what comes up next. Where does all this go in terms of where we see the most active and interesting spot markets in the years ahead?
So let's just talk about what's happening on the corporate front as well, because as I mentioned in the intro, we've seen BP making headlines last week after its share price hit a 25-year low. We also saw news over the last few weeks that Shell's preparing for an energy transition with its so-called Project Reshape. How is this shaking up big energy players as demonstrated with these cases?
Well, first of all, it's important to say it's not universal, but certainly several of the majors have said they are going to be drastically refocusing their capital allocations. They're moving away from upstream oil and gas and refocusing on electrification, on investing heavily in renewables. That's what BP has said. That's what Shell has said. You've got some of the other majors that haven't made similar announcements, that believe that actually their traditional businesses represent a solid path forward for the next several years. I think a lot of this at the moment, it's plans. It's people saying, okay, this is what we're going to do. But the detail on it all is going to be very, very important. And the problem is you've got so many different markets alongside each other. So do you invest in building new wind farms? Do you invest in solar? Do you invest in hydrogen as well? So we're seeing a lot of focus on hydrogen coming through, something that 10 years ago, you know, would have been a sort of interesting technology for cars. But more and more is being talked of as part of the solution for decarbonization of energy networks, particularly where you've got natural gas, for example, because you can invest in hydrogen, you can use hydrogen coming out of the renewables grid and have a nearly zero emission outcome, and you can use that to decarbonize natural gas. So for a lot of these corporates, they're looking at all these different options and saying, where should we be investing? They're making very large statements, and it's very interesting to see. But we need to see what that actually means in terms of where they place that capital.
We're speaking with John T. Rushforth, head of pricing at Platts. And John T., you know, for these corporates, change is never easy, I guess for the industry as a whole as well. And there are risks and fallout involved. And I'm just curious, you know, you're talking about long-term plans here earlier on. You were saying we're looking at 2030, 2040. So short-term risk to earnings, is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't go that far necessarily. What I would say is there's a lot of brand new markets coming through. When you've got a lot of brand new markets coming through, there's always a level of uncertainty around which of these are actually going to be driving the markets of the future. Now, when we're looking at them, we're certainly looking at renewables. We're certainly looking at hydrogen. We're also looking at how they affect the existing markets. So if you look at natural gas, if you look at crude oil production, there's emissions associated with that, and people are starting to value that as well. You've got the new carbon markets that have taken over the last decade or two. They have evolved a huge amount, and they are now starting to really be very interesting for a lot of people. The voluntary carbon markets, which pull together, you know, projects out of India and Brazil and global, and that's starting to actually provide a baseline for interaction between every part of the world when it comes to environmental markets. Now, is that risky? Well, uncertainty is risky, for sure. But what it is it's also opportunity. So there's going to be a lot of people looking at voluntary carbon markets, looking at hydrogen markets, looking at these all these alternatives. They're going to be looking for an understanding of where these things are going. And what's really important is to be able to say, okay, look, what's the price of any one of these things now? What's the outlook for it? And am I able to manage that risk if I go into it? So those are the challenges at the moment, I think.
So looking into your crystal ball, John T., what impact is all of this going to have on the shape of the energy landscape going forward? I mean, talking about pricing, talking about fund flows, what do you see?
Well, it's fairly obvious that we are seeing a massive shift of capital into renewables. That presents its own problem for managing the electricity grids. And if there's a problem, there's going to be solutions. So the solutions to those problems, I think, are going to be very interesting. We are going to see a moderating of the fossil fuel markets, but that doesn't mean, you know, that it's the end of those. And certainly, you know, the death of diesel is massively, is always cooled every year, but we're not quite there yet. There is a lot of discussion as to, okay, the sticky effects from COVID, from the pandemic, will these mean actually we start to see some of these things come through faster? It's possible, but certainly our analysts see that as only having an effect for maybe pulling things back a couple of years rather than a dramatic effect. But really, you know, anything can change around all this. So it's entirely, you know, you can paint a world in which we come out of the pandemic and everyone's working from home. I don't know about you, but I do quite like going to the office every now and again, so I'm not sure it's going to be quite that extreme.
Well,
gasoline, diesel, here to stay for a while.
And that said, you know, as you mentioned, kind of how we come out of the pandemic and how that will impact and reshape the energy industry, and obviously aviation and other transportation sectors have been very, very heavily hit by what's been happening. So when we're talking about alternatives such as sustainable aviation fuel, looking at the maritime sector as well, how do you see COVID-19? I mean, earlier you called it an accelerator as part of this, in terms of this energy transition. We've seen that across a lot of, and a number of industries. So how do you see the sustainable transportation fuel, or if we're talking about aviation fuel sector, changing as a result of what's been happening?
Yeah, and that's definitely one of the interesting things coming out of this. So we started publishing a sustainable aviation fuel price in August for Europe, and we're starting the same for California. And I think the interest from the airlines was there before this pandemic, and that's why we saw the industry embrace this their new framework, CORSIA, in which the airlines are going to be looking for alternative fuels. They're also going to be looking to offset their emissions. That's going to feed into the voluntary carbon markets. But obviously, there's been a massive hit on jet demand this year, and that's going to take quite a long time to come back. I think the where you can see, therefore, an acceleration around the energy transition on that front is that if you are coming back and you're investing in new things, what are you investing in? You're probably going to be tilting your investments more towards the greener end of things. So sustainable aviation fuel is very popular at the moment in terms of a focus. But in a world in which you have very low jet demand, it's going to take a while for that to feed through. If you're looking at maritime side of things, we've obviously just come out of the impact of new regulations there, which dramatically cut sulfur from the start of this year. There was a lot of investment from the shipping industry to deal with that. But certainly already we see the industry and the market saying, okay, well, what's next? And one of the things on the maritime side is LNG. So LNG bunkering, which we had historically seen a very small amount of in Northwest Europe. We've been starting to see that in Singapore come through now. We've started publishing prices in Singapore for LNG bunkering. And it's certainly something that, that we think could well be part of the future. And I think it's fair to say that we've certainly seen more people now focusing on that as a result of the pandemic than we had seen even 6 months ago or a year ago. But it's an accelerator. It's not a new thing. The industry was already looking at that. The big question is, do you see regulation come through on that side? And at the moment, you know, that's not in the immediate future of the world. But I think with all of these things, that it becomes a little bit of a reinforcement between regulation, industry investment, and the kind of popular focus as well. So those are the things that are starting to kind of raise the possibility that we might see, similar as we've seen in aviation, a global move towards doing something about GHG emissions from shipping. And if we see that, it's going to be likely some combination of LNG and some of these other fuels out there as well.
And John T, very quickly, we spoke earlier very briefly about regulations in Europe, but what are the steps Asia's taking and can take to reach the long-term goal of achieving energy transition? What kind of timeline are we looking at as well?
Well, you know, I mean, Asia's always been highly varied in terms of what happens. The different approaches from Japan being kind of pretty early with a carbon mandate under Kyoto, China now embracing that as well, and India really seeing a lot of the investments in projects that have fed into decarbonization, but without maybe the regulatory force behind it. Now, under Paris, all of that changes, and suddenly every jurisdiction has a mandate to reduce its emissions. That starts to mean that the markets need to find the most efficient places for investment. Do individual countries push forward with a greater level of regulation? Well, you know, I think for some of them, it's going to fit very well with their current situation. Japan has been in that space for a while. China is embracing it more and more and more. I think really that's the big question for everyone is how far does China take it? Do they maintain a relatively loose approach? Or do they iterate on their current structure, which is now in place? And do we start to see that really bite? And therefore, that lead to a massive shift in energy flows towards a more decarbonized structure. For me, I think, you know, that's an entirely plausible short-term future.
Well, Jonty, you know, there's just so much to discuss on this particular topic. We're going to have to get you back on the show, but unfortunately, that's all we've got time for today. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you. We've been speaking with Jonty Rushforth, Head of Pricing at Platts, here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.